When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pod Save the King!
Hello and welcome to an episode of Pod Save the King. And we are on the road in France, specifically Paris. I'm here with mirror photographer and friend of the podcast, Ian Vogler.
Good.
Are we?
Bonjour.
Bonjour, indeed, indeed. We are at Gare de Montparnasse. We are just about to get a train. And sorry for the delay in the podcast, but we've been pretty busy over the last couple of days on the state visit of His Majesty the King and Her Majesty the Queen of their state visit, their inaugural state visit to France. And it's been a good success, I think.
It has been busy, isn't it? It started yesterday. They flew in to Paris, and it's just been non-stop ever since, isn't it?
Yeah, I think some of the successes, when you look at, obviously, the rescheduled visit, this visit was supposed to take place in March, obviously had to be cancelled right at the last minute. A bit of embarrassment for President Macron having to personally phone the king and just say, well, you know, there's a few issues in the country. There's rioting on the streets. The town hall in Bordeaux was set on fire. Riots in the streets over the very controversial pension reforms that he is trying to bring into the country. But we're here and very happy to be here. What a reception the King and Queen have had. And you think about sort of the relationship between France and England. And I think that the warmth exuded by President Macron, indeed his wife Brigitte, has been sort of exuded in this in the meeting of the two couples, because it's been very warm, very cordial. I mean, Paris, no words can describe this stunning city. And they've really rolled out the red carpet, haven't they?
They certainly have. You notice that the president is very touchy-feely, isn't he?
Like, very tactile.
On the back and, you know, sort of gently guiding him. And it was lovely. Yesterday, the weather was great, wasn't it? Well, we had a little time before the king arrived. We went on our own short walking tour.
We were doing a bit of a recce.
We did. We had a look around. We sampled some French water, what do they call that again? wine or something like
Well,
that.
I think, you know, on that point of sort of that, the tactileness and sort of putting his arm around him, let's settle the grand debate about protocol, because we know we see all these stories appearing on the online outlets mostly about breaches of protocol and someone's touched the Queen. You remember when Michelle Obama put her arm around the late Queen and there was a big hullabaloo about whether she should or shouldn't have done it. Now, listen, I think first and foremost, if the Queen had been dissatisfied or her courtiers at the time, you would have heard about it. And the same goes for the King and his relationship with President Macron. I mean, they've been, I think we could say, good friends for a long time. Their relationship goes back many, many years. They're a good spokesman on the issue of climate change, very, very interested in supporting the youth. I think that's really come across in Charles's speeches. Very interested in helping future generations, whether that's to do with the fact that they are being disadvantaged by the moment. You talk about a cost of living crisis, but the real crisis at heart is climate emergency, and that is something Charles has obviously spoken very, very passionately over many, many decades. And that really came across in a lot of his speeches, especially the speeches that we've seen at the Grand Palace of Versailles, and indeed the Senate that he was welcomed rapturously on both occasions, I think.
Yeah, this morning I was in the Senate for that speech, and he kind of almost looked embarrassed because it went on for so long, this applause. He was made to sit in this particularly lavish chair, and everyone was applauding. He thought, yeah, it lasted a couple of seconds. Just seemed to go on and on, and he's kept looking round, thinking, as if to say, is this really for me? It's for someone else, isn't it? But yeah, he was so warmly received there. And last night, the state banquet as well, wasn't it? I have to say, I think there were three kings last night at the state banquet, if you don't mind me saying. There was Mick Jagger.
Oh, yes.
Arsene Wenger. And, of course, King Charles.
Well, you are a little bit biased. I mean, Ian is a big Arsenal fan, so we'll put your allegiances to the side for a moment. I think, let's say the Palace of Versailles. I mean, that is the opulence of the occasion was pretty much befitting of the welcome that he had received. Because, first of all, we were at the Arc de Triomphe, a beautiful sunny day. We didn't really get much. We're basking in the sunshine on this Thursday evening now. But yesterday, I mean, the setting was absolutely tremendous. Yeah. The iconic Champs-Élysées blocked off, crowds of people welcoming the King and Queen to start their state visit. But there is it was right that it started off the Tomb and the Unknown Warrior. Yeah. Charles laying a wreath with President Macron, his handwritten note talking about everlasting remembrance of both countries' war dead. And that really got it off to the right tone. A somber occasion, but something that of bringing our two countries together. And I think in a post-Brexit world, that message is, you would hope everlasting, because no matter the destruction of our own government's decision to leave the European Union, it's something that Charles is very, very passionate about. And you can tell that in his speeches. And we were both at the Senate today, and a grand occasion where he used his speech to not only tap into those two issues, climate change, the disadvantagement of young people, but I thought particularly prevalent that he used it to speak about the war in Ukraine. And if it was any doubt what sort of a King Charles would be, I mean, he said it himself. We were just looking over his previous comments in a BBC documentary in 2018 for his 70th birthday, when he said, you know, I'm not stupid enough to think that I can't act the same as I have been in the Prince of Wales job. You know, this is something that we can't meddle in constitutional affairs. However, when you are faced with such brutality, as I think we've all witnessed with the illegal Russian invasion of Ukraine and the suffering of its people, something that Charles, again, feels very, very passionate about. And invoking a wartime spirit, you know, mentioned Churchill, mentioned the relationship between our two countries during the Second World War, and really imploring not only our two countries, but the world to come together and to fight this aggression and pretty much say that Russia will not win. It's something that we must unite, and all parties must get together if Ukraine is going to prevail.
Yeah, he's done a lot for Ukraine. I've been to a lot of receptions back in London, Ukrainian church, Ukrainian community centre. Yeah, he's going to use his voice and his platform to point out to everyone the obvious, that this is an illegal war and it needs to end, doesn't it? It's not on our doorstep, but it's very close to
us. I mean, these are, you know, we're in being hosted by our closest neighbours. There is war in Europe. That is something that everybody should be very, very concerned about. I think we've seen the particular ramping up of the aggression, the rhetoric being used. We're living in a very, very dangerous time. And harking back to that age of war in Europe, something that nobody ever wants repeated. And yet here we are once again facing this sort of awfulness of what Russia is trying to do in Ukraine. So I think, you know, you look at the sort of punchy aspect of the language he's using. I can't imagine for a moment that the Queen would have ever broached that subject. Maybe she would have if she was speaking and faced with this issue. But it does seem that we're in a particularly interesting time for Charles. We speak a lot about the transitional year over the last 12 months. That Buckingham Palace speak that maybe it hadn't got off to the flying start that Charles would have hoped. I think there's an awful lot of transition that has to happen within the sort of mechanism of changing from Clarence House into Buckingham Palace, taking the top job, as it were. And yet here we are. We're dealing with the new Carolean era. And I think now this transitional year has finished. We've had the anniversary of the Queen's passing, pretty much a year to the day of us being here. And what does Charles's legacy look like? It's going to, I think, really ramp up now. We're here in France. We're going to be going to Kenya, hopefully in a few weeks. Talk of further tours, perhaps to Canada, Australia next year. And, you know, so we talk about the fact that Charles has made it a real point of his first year to not only to get out to the four corners, United Kingdom, speaking to different faiths and ethnicities, trying to be a sort of community king, as it were. But I've always thought that the real work on the international stage is going to be done by being in those countries. And you talk about the Commonwealth realms as well. There are obviously big issues there. We saw it with the William and Kate's tour of the Caribbean. Gosh, when was that? Nearly two years ago.
Yeah.
And the issues that are quite prevalent in those island nations. What will be on the menu for Charles if he decides to go there? I mean, he has said himself to us that very much supportive of those countries if they want to plan their own destiny. And he won't certainly stand in the way of them doing so and becoming republics, as Barbados has done. We're looking at Jamaica following suit. Antigua has obviously made comments of the same vein. But the new year is upon us in terms of his second year in the job. And what do you think the big moments are going to be over the next 12 months, I suppose?
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? Like you say, we don't know too much about beyond the next few months. So they always play it very close to their chest, don't they, the people in charge. But I think you're right. He's got to get out to the wider parts of the realms and the Commonwealth and keep it going. You know, there's a lot of people who haven't seen a major royal in a long time, mainly due to COVID, the death of the Queen. So I think there's going to be a lot of work next year in visiting those countries, the Commonwealth nations. Chogham comes in about, 18 months' time.
Samoa.
There's a lot of that work has got to be done, hasn't it? I mean, so far, he's really begun his reign as king by doing those things. He's going to various communities and he's gathering their support, isn't he? He's going to them and he's learning about their faith and their religion, what they do in their communities, because he wants to be a king for all people.
For all people, yeah, I think that's right. I think that if you were judging him on his first year, it's been pretty steady. Mm. And then you look at the successes. I mean, Germany was...
Oh, he was like a...
Like a rock star.
I mean, the German president, he was just couldn't keep away from
him. Yeah, I mean, Hamburg. We're in this, I suppose it was the town hall, wasn't it? He came out to the balcony. I think it was Chris Jackson has got that fantastic picture of them on the balcony. And you look at these moments and you think, well, that is a huge success. And it's been pretty much the same vein here. And certainly Macron is basking in the limelight, I suppose, of welcoming the king, that relationship being emboldened. And then what the highlights of the last couple of days, certainly Arc de Triomphe with all its splendor was fantastic. Really important message of that solidarity between the two nations. But then I really enjoyed the bit of ping pong between the Queen and the First Lady today.
That sounded really good.
Well, I've seen the videos and maybe sort of a bit remarkable it wasn't.
The Queen got a couple of returns. Apparently she couldn't serve, apparently.
It wasn't the greatest, but I suppose pressure on you when you've probably got a few dozen photographers and other people in the room looking at what you're up to.
Do you think she practiced? I mean, like, when it comes to coming on a tour like this, so the King knows he's got to speak French. I mean, you know, if you're a betting man, he's probably had someone in to refresh his fridge. But did the Queen go, hang on a minute, can you get me a ping pong coach?
I like to think they've got that ping pong table in the grand drawing room.
We've got an Olympic ping pong table. Sorry, I'm being disrespectful. Table tennis player to come and refresh the Queen's skills. I don't know.
Well, I think, listen,
maybe we'll have to ask her.
That engagement was actually in Saint-Denis, which was a flashpoint of these riots back in March. Now it's this sporting cultural hub. We've got the Rugby World Cup happening at the moment whilst we are here, which has been fantastic to see.
Massive.
Great sporting occasion in the country at the moment. France really getting behind it as well. But we had the president of Paris Saint-Germain sort of ambushing him with a top with Charles III in the background. I'm not sure the palace would have banked on that.
I mean, look, PSG can get any player they want, but can they sign the king?
Well, he's doing his best. He's doing his best. But that was a great success. A bit of a trip down memory lane. I was at the flower market today, which was just off the Seine in the shadow of Notre Dame Cathedral. And interestingly enough, this little flower market tucked away in one of the side streets was renamed after the late Queen, following her visit in 2014. And Charles met a couple of the storeholders who were actually in, running their stalls back 9 years ago when the Queen visited. And he met a couple of them and was talking to them about their sort of honour of meeting his mother and indeed him being here as well. And then they were sort of ushered quite chaotically. There's a lot of police here, I must say. And that is, you know, you go on these tours, we normally say, what is it, like a glorified school trip where we're all banged on buses, off of buses, running around with all our gear and whatnot. But there is a huge police presence. I think I read in the, I did read in the French press, there's another further 8,000 officers here. I think there's going to be another 10,000 deployed throughout the course of the visit, and you can really feel it. I mean, there's security check after security check like I've never seen. And, well, you look at the real, I suppose, big events that are happening. Rugby World Cup, the Pope is in Marseille, I think, during this week. And you have, obviously, the state visit, which is of particularly importance. Certainly don't want any further embarrassment caused to the president by having any further hiccups. But it's gone without a hitch. They went to Notre Dame Cathedral just around the corner from the flower market. Obviously, huge renovation project ongoing at the moment after the fire in 2019. And you look at the cultural aspects of what they've experienced on this trip, and that was very much running through the vein of Charles's speeches, the cultural, not only differences, but what we share culturally between our countries, the thousands or hundreds of thousands of each country's citizens living in each country and experiencing the fruits of each other's labour, as it were.
Absolutely. You know, last night I was speaking to one of my contacts at the...
why are you laughing?
Well, it wasn't the chap in the bar, was it?
No, it was another chap, and he wasn't in the bar. At the arrival at the state banquet last night, the guy told me they had 28 police motorcycle outriders.
Right. I mean, we're on the
like
sort
that.
Of limit of either the President of the United States or North Korean.
You normally get maybe four, maybe six back home. 28.
Yeah, you've really felt it. But, I mean, nobody sees this. This is just only things that we have to deal with. Obviously, the pictures that you're seeing back home and around the world have been great. There's a lot of people who are coming out into the streets. I was a bit worried because the weather yesterday on Wednesday was beautiful, basking in the Parisian sunshine, and yet today the heavens opened, unfortunately, for them. But it didn't dampen their spirits. I'm sure there'll be a few headlines. Didn't rain on his parade. apologies.
We just keep using that rain parade.
It's such a
awful. Yeah, it was the Queen had one of those see-through umbrellas, and it was pretty miserable for a lot of today. Notre Dame, they couldn't quite go in, could they? There's some logistical issue. If you go in, you have to wear special protection.
Well, so apparently this is, I just learned from one of our colleagues who was covering the event that they can't
go in. For a proper
journalist
that actually knows something.
Yes, indeed. Because the lead that was burnt in the fire is toxic and they're working out how to deal with it. So, I mean, this renovation project is going to go longer than Buckingham Palace renovation, you would imagine. And I mean, talk about Buckingham Palace, it was $370 million spent on that. They raised nearly a billion euros in the first 24 hours, didn't they?
Yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it?
And again, let's look at the successes of this trip. What does this mean? I mean, Charles is definitely a statesman. Super impressive as it was in Germany, speaking the native tongue, really warms himself to his host. And he's done it again. So this is something that maybe Prince William could learn from. I'm not too sure how good his French is, let alone his German. But when you come to the country and you can speak the mother tongue as fluently and as masterfully as he has done, I mean, he's flitting between languages absolutely seamlessly. I was speaking to some of the French journalists here today, and they were super, super impressed in the Senate. Joking in French, raising a laugh whilst talking about very, very serious issues that we've just covered. It's been a real lesson in statesmanship. And if you were thinking about what Charles would be like, we might not have had the revolutionary king that maybe people thought he was going to be like, but it's been slow and steady in the first year. But these are real, real lessons in statesmanship. And I think that's a massive win for the King.
Yeah, it's definitely a win. I mean, even like where I was in this room where he first arrived, there's a few guys there. They're basically, they're kind of like butlers. They help out with the senators and they, you know, make sure everything's in the right place. Even they were whipping out their phones and trying to get pictures of the King. And, you know, they see various heads of state all the time. And I said to the guy, you like him? He goes, it's the King. It's really important. So it does show you that it is really cutting through. Have you got any money you could lend me? I kind of 50p. Have you got a
50p? I have.
I've got one
of these, the new 50p.
You got the new 50p? I have.
I should actually tweet or put it on the Instagrams because the Royal Mint sent us one of the new 50p's.
Not me.
Us. I'm just going to use it collectively to see. And again, that was you talk about the new era, the Carolean era that we are now living in. That was actually a bit like, oh, right, we're here now. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where the money starts flitting through. Yeah. But like these, you know, the moments of the lapels on the soldiers when we had it, there was a couple of the CR lapels when the late Queen was buried. I mean, look at this. We've got sirens in the background now. We've got a piano player. I mean, this is we are on the road. We are on the road. But we are in a period of transition now that I really believe, and I'm excited about it because I think that there is going to be an awful lot of change now. They've got to grips with the mechanisms of what's going on, and again, this was a real lesson that I think will not only go, it will go down in the history books.
And the Queen as well. We haven't spoken very much about the Queen today. She went with the President's wife to St. Denis to do that event. You know, she's finding her feet as well. I mean, she's always done events. She's always covered things. But now she's on a state visit to a very important country, you know. She's fitted right
her in. Second now, yeah. Along with the King.
Nice event like last night when they arrived at the state banquet. And a cape, I think it's called a cape, got a little bit twisted and Madame Macron was helping her out and all of that.
Well, again, this sort of like the cordial relationship between them. A couple of kisses on the cheek from the First Lady to the Queen. And today they went to the National Library, talking about the Queen, they went to the National Library, very, very passionate. We know Camilla has been speaking for many years now about children's literacy, the power of reading books, and that's very, very important to her. And they were launching a new programme between the two countries today, which I think is, you talk about the King's legacy. Camilla has said that she's not going to shy away from the issues that have been really dear to her heart, specifically literacy and domestic violence. And this is something, you know, we've spoken on the podcast before and covered extensively in our coverage, that this is something you couldn't have even imagined a member of the royal family speaking about. And yet here she is once again at home and abroad speaking about domestic violence, the bravery of women coming forward and giving them the vehicle to be able to express themselves in a way which, you know, the tide is turning and she wants to be at the forefront of that. So listen, if we're marking it, we've got to give it an A+, haven't we, at the moment?
Yeah.
It's been pretty successful. Some of it's a little bit paint by numbers, but you're not going to get them trying to reinvent the wheel on this. It's got to be making sure it's a success. And I'm sure there would have been an awful lot of nervousness, so again, in the French press about, you know, the possibility of terrorism issues. I know that Al Qaeda's magazine had been saying that there was potentially going to strike at the heart of this. Well, this is what the police presence is about. And The normal people who are consuming our coverage aren't going to see that, but it hasn't overshadowed the trip at all. So, as we are preparing to leave beautiful Paris, we're going to go to Bordeaux tomorrow. King and Queen are arriving separately. We couldn't hitch a lift on their plane this time, unfortunately.
Some issue about an unpaid barbell.
Not ours. But no. We are going to see them tomorrow. We're going to have an official welcome at the airport, and then we're going to be seeing a lot more about the cohesion between the two countries. Hopefully, the sun will be shining. I haven't checked the weather report actually.
I think it's all right.
We like a weather update.
I think everyone needs to. I've really put myself out tomorrow. I've really...
In the line of duty.
In the line of duty, I've decided to accompany the Royals to a vineyard.
There's a lot of alcohol discussion on this podcast. We are working incredibly hard to bring you the...
It's a sustainable vineyard, I think.
The coverage. Yeah. Well, that will please the King, because, you know, we know he is a huge aficionado on sustainability. And sometimes you see the engagements, and it's a bit of a tick list, isn't it? Sustainability, climate change. But I think the language has been really, really punchy. And you talk about, not even the week, just hours after our own government has rowed back, the Tories are rowing back on their own green agenda, which is frankly disgraceful. And the language being used by the Conservative government is that they're trying to win votes reining back on green policies, which actually matter. You know, talking about the younger generation, these are the people that are going to inherit the world that we are creating at the moment. And the King is straight in there saying that these are the issues that need to be tackled. And long may that continue, because if he's not going to do it, and I think that's what he's thinking, if he's not going to do it, then who is? I mean, we've had Prince William over in New York over the last few days talking about the Earthshot Prize, the UN Climate Change Council. We're going to be seeing him in Singapore in a few weeks as well to be discussing Earthshot. Again, I think that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in those sorts of moments. And after the chaoticness of the last couple of years, even longer, two, three, four, five years. I mean, however long you want to call it, of the sort of infighting and scandal we've had of the royal family. It's good to see them back and sort of approaching this with the sort of gusto that I think state visits should be about. A bit of pomp and pageantry, a bit of history making. And you really did feel that, certainly at the Palace of Versailles and the state, the Senate today. And listen, it's kicking off on the right note.
It's leading from the front. It's all going in that direction. And, you know, the King's been talking about the environment before it was trendy to talk about the environment. So he really is an expert in that field. Do you think I should tell him about my electric car? Would he be interested?
I think he would, because when Arthur Edwards told him about his electric car many years ago, Arthur has told me about this story. He was very, very impressed. So maybe
I'll tell him.
You should pull him aside tomorrow. Maybe not pull him aside, but just leave that to the president.
We'll have a little chat. I'll feed that back to the next edition of Podso.
Perhaps. So I think we're going to love you and leave you. At this juncture, we've got a train to catch down to hopefully sunny Bordeaux, and maybe we'll give you an update next week. And lovely to have you on again.
Pleasure to be here as always.
So until next time.
Pod save the King.